Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
So last night we saw Anthony Rizzo caught on the third baseline and he froze.
The pitch by McFarland. Swinging a ground ball towards short. They go to second for one. And now Rizzo is going to try to score the throw home. And they've got Anthony a rundown between third and home. Meanwhile, going to second base is Happ. Rizzo, staying in the rundown for a long time, gets tagged out. It's a double play.
In that moment, it occurred to me watching it, Anthony Rizzo caught in limbo betwixt and between third base and home. What do you do? Do I go back? Do I try to score? He froze. And in that moment, he was caught. Is there any better representation, symbol for what the last 2 weeks have been like for the Cubs? Is it anything more symbolic than what Jed Hoyer, who I think is a terrific executive, transparency is his strength. But in announcing that you are open for business and that you will be sellers, I think you lost your team. I think you put your manager in quite a pickle, Mark Grody, in a conundrum. You created this awkward situation. Every day, there seems to be something else that reminds us of the awkwardness that is this Cubs month of July.
I would counter that, though, by saying they did win 2 out of 3 in Arizona against a horrific Arizona Diamondbacks team. So
the 4A Diamondbacks.
Absolutely. They did score 6 runs in the 9th 2 nights ago. They did have a 9th-inning comeback last night. Teams that are phoning it in or giving up or have lost the love temporarily of the game, don't try in the 9th inning. I'm more on the side of they know that this team is about to be broken up, and damn it, we're going to go down fighting. So I'm seeing it differently than you.
Let me make a distinction, though, Mark. What I'm saying and what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that the Cubs are lacking effort. I think that they are losing focus.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Happy Friday morning, July 23rd. We made it. Mark Grody, who was in for Mully today. We made it to Friday, and boy, the last half hour on this radio station, you are a tough act to follow.
Hey,
you and Les.
I'll get us through the next 4 hours.
Please tip the wait staff.
Don't you worry. Yeah, we learned a lot from. I am just, as I was telling you off the air, I am just heartened to hear that Grobber and I, that not only are we okay, that he's not mad. We're like best friends.
That was a moment.
It was a moment.
That was a radio moment.
I really did want to hug him, like a long, meaningful hug. And unfortunately, he wasn't in the studio.
That was almost as precious of a moment, the look on your face, as it was at 4:33 when they came to you unexpectedly. Like, you ready, Mark? Grody, you there?
I know.
What? I just got here.
I know that, like, when I come in the morning, it's like a Grobber warning. The conditions are always going to be favorable for Les to come to me. So there's a part of my brain that's always standing by, ready. But that one did catch me off guard because I literally just said that you and I were getting our computers open, maybe starting to discuss the shows.
Yeah.
And there comes Grobber coming
to
me.
How was the walk? How was the commute?
Right.
What do you think today? How you feeling?
He interrupted small talk.
What are we gonna get to? And then all of a sudden, it's like, let's go to Grody.
Yes. I'm standing by. It was an actual emergency. Stop, drop, and roll. Put the mic muff on and talk to Les.
But I really feel like you made some headway today. It seemed like
I did too.
You got something out of Les that typically people don't get.
Well, there are a couple things. The best friends thing, which is cool because I've always felt that way too. I just didn't know if he would reciprocate it towards me. The Super Bowl thing, which I don't know if I have complete closure on still. I feel like I'd circle that back and there's still something about it. That I don't know, and I still feel like there might have been some danger coming my way.
I think there might have been.
You know what I mean? There might have been a couple of guys in trench coats like popping up at my place to just have a little word with me. Hey, we would just say, look at me. We want to talk and have a word about the, you know, Leslie Grobber. You're giving him a lot of problems. So, Les, there's something there that is untold still.
I think that you're right. You peeled back a few layers, but there's still a few more to go.
Yeah. And what fun would it be if there wasn't more layers to peel back? I am always investigating.
So that will be a tough act to follow, but we will try here until 9 o'clock. And then we'll give way to Dan and Layla. And we have a good program today, Mark. We have a lot of stuff going on. We've got Bruce. We've got Kevin Fishbane. We've got Tim Allen. We're going to check in Milwaukee because I don't know if you have heard, but the I-94 War?
What a brilliant name for a rivalry. That is fantastic.
Future World Series matchup tonight, possibly. Everyone will have that take on the White Sox and the Brewers. What a fun 3 games this will be. What great pitching matchups we're awaiting. Lucas Giolito, Freddy Peralta tonight, 7 o'clock in Milwaukee. That will dominate a lot of the focus today, I think, because it beats staring at the Cubs.
That is very true, and even though the Cubs have their, you know, kind of tough turnaround from the night game to the day game back at Wrigley Field, and they get to play the horrible Arizona team that you were just talking about in the preview. So, yeah, man. No, this is like one of those times where we always build these series up, and it's playoff preview and all that. A World Series preview. I like it when the White Sox play good teams. Or maybe I should put it differently. I hate it when the White Sox play bad teams at this point. I hated watching the White Sox play that Baltimore series. That was awful baseball. Even Minnesota, even though there is the rivalry and they ended up splitting the series, it's still not great baseball. At this point, I want to see the White Sox play real teams, competitive teams, because for a couple of reasons, that's just fun to watch objectively, two good teams playing. And the Sox need to tune up for these better teams because they still, I still don't think they have a winning record against winning teams this year throughout baseball.
So, I think you're right. Yeah. And they had the day off yesterday, but there was news in terms of the White Sox organization, Yermín Mercedes, unretired. The Yerminator is back. I'll be back. And he is. And that lasted less than 24 hours. The type of retirement that made Brett Favre jealous.
Yeah. the comeback.
If he keeps this up, he could be, you know, a boxer in his next career.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so he's back. A lot of drama there, a lot of things maybe to pick at. But the bottom line is that he was in uniform for Charlotte last night. And whoever got to him, a lot of people did. He went back to his Instagram account and from it's over to I'm back. So he is the man of mixed messages this week. A lot of drama, and I don't know what they do with him moving forward. I don't know if we will see Yermín Mercedes in a White Sox uniform again, but Yermín not a designated quitter, according to the headline in the Sun-Times today. Pretty catchy.
Now that I look back on the whole thing and we could actually form opinions without speculating, to me the whole thing was, guys, I'm still here. Remember your old buddy? Hey, Chuck Garfine, the Yerminator, remember me? Hey, Score, I came on your radio station a couple times. Remember your old buddy, your fun guy? I'm the big guy that hits home
runs. And if it's just that's kind of like, all right, just go away.
But isn't that it?
It seemed like it was more of a plea for attention than a cry for help.
And that's why we're all kind of dancing around it, being a little bit careful about it.
And I think people needed to be responsible and careful. And we talked with Dan and Layla yesterday, and there was a lot we didn't know. And we said during our show that there was going to be more to the story, or you needed to couch it that way. Now, if it comes back that all he wanted was to be hugged a little tighter.
Yeah. Hey, remember me? Yeah, it's like the
high fastball, then we'll hug you a little tighter.
Yeah, exactly. Catch up with velocity, man. Yeah, it's like he's like I was saying this the other day that it's the highs and the lows. It's that you're a superstar for a month in Major League Baseball because that's what it was. He was doing historic things. He was the best hitter in baseball in every single category. And then, you know, he's being praised. He's making nice per diem at the Major League level. And then it all goes away. And I don't think the human brain is equipped to handle such high. In fact, I know the human brain is not equipped to handle such highs and lows without some sort of bump in
the
road.
But you just said it's Major League Baseball. It's a professional sport. And if you are a professional in an organization for a team that is 20 games above 500, has a 9-game lead in the division, and has World Series aspirations, you do not need to complicate things and distract the cause with unnecessary drama. You're not worth it.
Which is why I have to say the White Sox have handled this well. That Tony La Russa's immediate reaction was, okay, I'll talk to him and we'll let him know that he is a major league player. The Sox at every step, instead of saying, hey, shut up, you're mean, or cutting him or allowing him to retire, it seems like they talked him out of that. So I guess good on the White Sox.
I guess they talked him out of it. They brought him back rather than designating him for assignment.
They don't need him.
Yeah, they don't need him. They don't want to have him beat them either. They don't want him to go to another team.
That's true. He's theirs.
So we will continue to kind of explore some of those things that came out of the Yermín Mercedes drama yesterday, Thursday, off day for the White Sox. Not for the Cubs. Dropped their third of four games in the Cardinals series, 3-2. Nolan Arenado, Dylan Carlson, homer for the Cardinals. They take the series away from the Cubs. Adbert Alzolay, remember when he was the bright spot on this pitching staff and there was so much hope surrounding the development of an Adbert Alzolay? I love talking to Tommy Hotovy about an Adbert Alzolay because everything was so positive and cheery. And they still look at what he did last night. It wasn't a terrible start, but Mark Grody, he's 4-10, and he has not – I know we're not supposed to pay attention to the record, and when today's baseball, win-loss records don't mean anything, but he's winless in his last seven starts.
It was a quality start, and we could go back and forth on what the quality start really means last night, but the big part of Alzolay's appearance last night is he gives up two more home runs. He's allowed now 20 home runs this year, most of them against lefties, and that's been a real problem.
Yeah.
Like, he ends up giving up three runs, but but a lot of hard hit balls and two balls that went over the wall, and that's been the MO on Edward Alzolay for sure.
Back home today at Wrigley Field, a Friday afternoon game here on The Score. Pregame, I think, is 12:30 with Zach.
Correct.
Zaidman, or maybe Matt Spiegel is doing pregame today, I think, because Zach is doing play-by-play. Pat may have the day off. It was a long trip home, I'm sure, from St. Louis in the middle of the night. Ron Coomer, Pat, and Zach in the company vehicle. So
I promise you that Pat Hughes was sleeping in the backseat. Pat Hughes is one of the greatest sleepers of all time. Like, envious, because I used to sit next to him on the airplanes, on the charters, and we would talk for about 15 minutes. Like, we would go, Mark, what are you up to this week? And what did you think of the game? How's your family? And then he'd order his salmon. And then it was lights out. It was like, good night, Pat. And Pat would fall asleep, and that would be it. He's able to do, like, he is a talented sleeper.
It's a skill.
It really is.
Sleep wherever.
I
envy those people.
Absolutely.
Did you see Joe Buck respond to the Mike Bryant criticism? Joe Buck responded by saying, remember when Joe Buck, for context, at the All-Star game, was asking Chris Bryant during the game about his uncertain future with the Cubs? Mm-hmm. And Joe Buck was criticized for that by Mike Bryant, who had told our guy Evan Altman from Cubs Insider, and this finally got back to Joe Buck, and this is what he had to say about the criticism.
I said to the radio guy, I was like, no, I'm not going to respond. I don't even know about it. I said, I've made thousands of mistakes in my career on live TV. That was not one of them.
No.
I mean, you have to. If I don't ask him that, then I'm a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the number one thing you ask the guy. So,
how did you approach the question?
I said, all right, I'm going to ask. I even couched it. I'm like, I'm going to ask the annoying question. I know you're tired of answering it. And I talked about how unselfish he's been. He's played all these different positions, and he hasn't, you know, he's a great guy and a great team guy. And I mean, I've been nothing but pro Chris Bryant since the guy got in the league. So just the only reason why I'm bringing it up again is that maybe somebody runs with some of this and it drives more traffic to our podcast. Otherwise, I don't care.
Good for Joe Buck. Explain himself with a little more detail, a little more context. I'm not going to sit here and pick on Mike Bryant. I got a lot of time for Mike Bryant. I like him. I don't fault him for defending his kid. If you're oversensitive to that as a parent, I don't think he needed to say what he said, but I'm not going to sit here and bash him for that. Joe Buck explained it well, and I didn't think Joe Buck crossed the line at all.
I do think Mike Bryant crossed the line, and I like Mike Bryant too. Who doesn't? He's a likable dude, but that's going too far in terms of interfering with your son's career and his life, and with just he knows how it works. He knows.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he knows how
he asks a question. A proud dad's asks a question. He's a little bit involved.
Yeah, I suppose so. But Joe Buck had the exact right answer. Like, sometimes in this business, we ask questions for our own credibility, for our own sake, for our fellow brethren. I mean, like, yeah, if he doesn't ask that question here, we're probably roasting Joe Buck. What are you doing having this happy conversation with Chris Bryant and not ask him about what's really going on?
How could you let the opportunity pass?
Yeah, and I wish Mike Bryant would see it that way. Honestly, I wish that it would have been more like, you know, it kind of sucks that he had to ask my son that, but I get it. And so should Chris Bryant. I don't get that they didn't get it.
NFL had a very interesting day in terms of its vaccination policy. We also have some other stuff going on. Nelson Cruz was traded. We got a lot to get to. Stan Bowman, Blackhawks general manager, kind of addressed the lawsuits filed against the Blackhawks, kind of didn't. And today, I don't know, Mark Grody, I know you have a big weekend planned. I don't know if you're going to watch the NHL draft, but that is tonight.
I don't know. I got to talk to Grobber. I think that we're going to try to get together.
Like,
yeah,
we're going to
get together and watch the NHL draft.
I think you guys should get together and watch the when Ted Lasso drops. I would like to be there Ted Lasso drops and have the live commentary with Mark Grody and Les Grobster.
Oh, my God, that would be great. Well, we can't do live Twitter because Grobber does not believe in Twitter.
That's right. Yeah. That's another show.
Yep, it is.
The 5 of 5 is next. Mark Grody in for Mully. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
If you were White Sox GM Rick Hahn, even though you welcomed back your mean Mercedes after what could have been the shortest retirement in team history, would you be closer to viewing Mercedes as a potential September call-up or designating him for reassignment after the mini-drama he created?
I would have to take a breath. I would have to take a step back if I'm Rick Hahn. I would not like what your mean Mercedes put the organization through. Not that it was that bad of a thing, but it was impulsive, it was selfish, and it was immature. And it was unnecessary. And I think when you are where the White Sox are in the context of your season, and you have everything at stake, and you are in a World Series or bust mentality, you cannot tolerate this kind of nonsense. And that's what this was. This was nonsense. Your mean Favre put the White Sox through something they didn't need to go through. This was, as you point out correctly, a plea for attention. And he wasn't being loved to the extent that he was being loved when they named a burger after him in Chicago during April, which was one of the great months of this season for an individual in baseball. And it was a great story at the time. But stories have beginnings and endings. And I don't know if this is the end of the Yermín Mercedes story, and I don't wish him, you know, I don't wish him ill will or anything like that. But if you're the general manager of an organization hoping to do what the White Sox hope to do this year, you're probably closer to just saying, all right, play this out. But I don't know that we're going to reward this kind of behavior with a September call-up. I don't know that you can help us. I don't know that you can't. But there are reinforcements on the way, Mark, and you're going to get Eloy Jimenez back. You're going to get Luis Robert back. Yasmani Grandal. You're going to run out of spots because Gavin Sheets is hitting well. Jake Berger is worth a look. These guys are doing what Mercedes did earlier. And if he's upset about not catching, I suppose he has to get better as a catcher. But if that's not the way the Sox view him, I don't think he needs to go out in a pout and stage his retirement. So I would be closer to plotting his DFA than I would be calling him up in September.
I would not DFA him. I think players have done much worse throughout the history of our game of baseball and have gotten second chances. This was bad, what he did, something unnecessary for a team that is one of the best in baseball, an organization, which is he should not have done it. But they got a month. They have a month before September, obviously, to figure it out, to if they're going to quote-unquote discipline him in some way, shape, or form. They could get that tidied up and tightened up between now and then because it all comes down to winning a World Series this year. I was thinking even before all this nonsense began that maybe there's one more Yermín Mercedes blast this year. Maybe there's one more April in him to where I think we know by now that at 28 years old he's never going to be a wire-to-wire consistent 162 game Major League Baseball player. But I do think if you could get another spurt like that in September or even in the postseason and plug him in, I think there's potential for a guy like that to come up big for you and might be an absolute weapon. So
where though?
I don't know. Pinch hitter, designated hitter for certain matchups, just moments. Like, there's no way he's going to be an everyday guy. If Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez come back, 100%. He's not going to even get consecutive days. But pick your spots. I mean, like, who wouldn't want, if Yermin is seeing it and he's locked in, what a perfect guy to have on a playoff roster to come up in a pinch-hitting situation or a favorable matchup or even start a day or a game at DH, and you could pull him out at any time. But if he is back locked in and his timing has returned and he could hit velocity, I think he's a guy who could still help. So much worse things have occurred in baseball than an attention grab, which is what he apparently did.
That was definitely an attention grab. I was mesmerized by that. I'm like, what? You almost felt like you were looking at the internets and it was wrong. You were looking at Twitter and like, huh? Wait, hold on a second. Is this a gag? Like, I thought he had quit and, you know, La Russa was going to reach out to him and talk him off the ledge potentially, maybe, or whatever. But here's the thing. You can't get rid of him because the way baseball has been this year with injuries, and specifically the White Sox, you couldn't just DFA the guy. The question would be, when they expand the rosters, do you want him around? Was he a good teammate? He's apologizing for something. We're still trying to figure that out.
It's a good point.
So you have him in Charlotte, have him work on catching. That's something else that maybe continue to have him catch, see if he can get up to speed in an emergency type situation. But the biggest question would be, when the roster is expanded, would you have this guy around?
Would you? Based on the last 48 hours?
I don't think so, because I don't think you need him. But the reason you wouldn't but I wouldn't also DFA him, because because to Grody's point, what he has been able to do, that's very valuable. And if he's a short plane ride away from Charlotte,
it's
or wherever they have him, but that's why I wouldn't have him in the clubhouse. Just hanging around.
That's funny because if he's that big of a distraction potentially, you still want to hang him. You want to hang him hanging around just in case you need his bat for an at bat.
Dude, those guys loved him in that clubhouse though. Do you see how he was treated? And like, he'd get singles and those guys were all like going crazy in the dugout and smiling. Like, they love your mean Mercedes.
Right. I don't think you guys are soft. I think Dustin just wants the T-shirt, and you just don't want to tell somebody to go back.
Well, I feel like my perspective is just looking at it unemotionally and looking at it as, yeah, what he did suck, but you know what? We're going to look the other way because this is about winning a World Series, man. And like I said, like, we've seen players commit crimes and get second chances in whatever sport in their life. And then this is simply an attention grab and you want him gone?
Somebody
You're heartless.
Described this is and I shame on me especially for not thinking of this yesterday, but also I'll blame Grody too a little bit because he was definitely around this with the Cubs when this happened.
Okay.
Tommy La Stella.
Oh, yeah. Mystery La Stella.
Like, it took me so long to get here, and then I got sent back, and I can't handle the
fact.
That
was another plea for attention. That was another thing worthy of criticism. I'm getting hammered on the text line. Were you this tough on Tommy La Stella?
I haven't taken a look at it in a matter of moments. So, but different. Tommy La Stella didn't take the game of baseball by storm. I don't believe Tommy La Stella won an AL Player of the Week or AL Player of the Month.
In both cases, you are role players on teams with championship aspirations. And the number one rule you have when you are that kind of a guy is like a doctor. First, do no harm. You're not to be a distraction. And these guys, what they have in common, they both were distractions.
The most pressing question is,
what is the right mindset for the first place White Sox to take into this weekend series against the first place Brewers in what Mark Grody might like to call the I-94 war? If you had to make a prediction, how many games will the Sox win?
Yeah, that was mine. Here it is. It's the I-95.
It's pretty catchy, Grody.
Yeah.
I like it.
Put it on a
T-shirt.
Thanks.
Or a hat.
Thanks. Yeah, it's the I-94 war, everybody. Hope you're all enjoying your ride to Milwaukee right now.
You and Grobber, drive north on 994, and that's a podcast waiting to happen.
I think it is. There's a lot of avenues that the Grobber and I could take. But I think this is great. This series is awesome. Like I said earlier, what I've really hated this year is watching the White Sox play bad teams. And like the Baltimore series was just gut awful. So was even watching them play against the Twins It's not fun. At this point, you want it. Yes, you do want measuring sticks. And you just want to see the Sox, but just objectively as a baseball fan, see them play the best competition. How do I think that they're gonna? I think that Milwaukee's gonna win 2 out of 3
Ooh.
In this series. Yeah, I think it's
wow.
Yeah, home court. You know, I think that the pitching matchups are awesome. Okay. Giolito against Peralta, Rodon, Burns, Lynn, Woodruff. I think that because home field. Although I will say this, with the Sox bats starting to heat up and some of their core guys like Abreu and Moncada starting to hit the ball over the wall, that's a good place to hit the baseball. So I think there's going to be some high scoring, higher than we think, considering these pitching matchups.
Yes.
Like I think there'll be some irony that'll go into it. But I hate to say it, and I'm not going to be popular with White Sox fans. I think Milwaukee wins 2 out of 3 in this
Ooh,
series.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah,
you think that
I do.
Corbin Burns is going to beat the Sox on Saturday?
Well, let's see. If you really want the break, I think Milwaukee wins tonight. I think the Sox win will be the Rodon game, which
okay.
is the middle game, and then they lose the finale, the Lance Lynn game.
I think that this is going to be Sox-Astros part deux. Mm. Because
at US Cellular,
yes,
guaranteed rate.
Yes, what happened when they played the Astros last?
The measuring
stick series, they're going to lose tonight.
Okay,
and everyone's going to be like, "Oh my gosh, they can't beat a good team."
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look at this record, and we're going to hear that record trotted out, and we're going to talk about it on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow morning, 9 to 11 with Bruce Levine, and we are going to wonder if this is a World Series preview, they're going to lose the World Series.
No.
And then they're going to come out on Saturday night. And they're going to win, and they're going to beat Corbin Burns. And then on Sunday, with everybody watching, and it's Lance Lynn and Brandon Woodruff, that is going to be the best matchup, and I think the White Sox win 2-1, and they're going to win 2 out of 3, and they're going to leave Milwaukee satisfied and their fans excited.
I think, though, if you really want the White Sox-Houston dynamic, that Milwaukee would have to kick the White Sox butts this week, and then in the World Series,
right,
the White Sox win 7-2 every day. So maybe hope for the sweep. Justin?
I like 2 out of 3, and specifically because
with
of
who?
The way
who winning?
For the White Sox. Good point, Mark.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're listening.
Yeah,
you're not going,
yeah.
uh-huh. See, that's
Wait,
the,
who
for
does
all
that?
You for all you youngsters out there who probably aren't even up right now, but if you
Topic.
Are a youngster right now and you would like to get into radio, what Grody just did there was very good. You're listening.
Exactly.
So he put my feet to the fire and said, well, that's very great. Nice of you, Dustin. 2 out of 3, but for whom?
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
The whom would be the White Sox, and it's because of
uh-huh.
how the pitching match is lined up.
Uh-huh.
I think Ray's on his way to an open right here.
Remember Kopic?
Who's got a cart right now?
Yeah.
You know what a cart is?
Yeah, it's a cart.
Your dime, your dance floor, Dustin.
Explain that one to the kids. Carts.
No, yeah. We don't have enough time. It's 5 at 5. Ray's already panicking that it's 5:38 and we're only on the
Settle
second
down,
question
Ray.
And I'm still talking. I like the Giolito's going first, Rodon and Lynn. I like that setup. Those are your three guys. Those are your top three guys over at 35th and Shields. Now, I might do it opposite. If it was the playoffs, Lynn would get the ball first, not Giolito, and then we could argue about Rodon and being second and Giolito being third, whatever. But I like that. Here's the thing. You need to take 2 out of 3 with those three guys going. That's important. I think if you only win one, if you God forbid got swept, that would be very bad. And then we come back Monday and we hear, well, it's only July.
Those are tough questions to answer because it's like, what do I say to that?
The Twins traded DH Nelson Cruz to the Rays and received two hard-throwing right-handed pitchers who are considered almost major league ready. Cruz is considered a rental. Did the Twins just establish the marketplace for Chris Bryant in terms of the players the Cubs can expect to receive in return? Did KB not playing again Thursday make you think the end is near?
It did. And I think that when you talk to people around the Cubs, and I did that yesterday, there is this sense of inevitability when it comes to Chris Bryant being traded. And there's mixed feelings and emotions about that. And I think that. But it's probably going to happen, and we've got another countdown. A week from today is the trade deadline. Let's look at Nelson Cruz. Did he establish the marketplace for a slugger at the trade deadline? Nelson Cruz can only play one position. He's a designated hitter. Chris Bryant can play 5. Chris Bryant's probably not going to hit you the home runs that Nelson Cruz is going to the rest of this season, but Chris Bryant's pretty valuable. The Rays gave up two AAA starting pitchers for Nelson Cruz and a prospect. The starting pitchers are ranked number 10 and number 17 in the Rays system. If the Cubs got back a 10th and 17th ranked prospect for Chris Bryant, who were both starting pitchers, I don't think Chicago would respond well to that. I don't want to speak for all of Cub fandom, and I'm certainly not trying to do that. I would look at that as not enough, not highly rated enough. These are guys who are on the verge of being major league contributors, but I would want more. So if Nelson Cruz set the bar here, he did sort of establish the marketplace because he established a market to where I would want more for Chris Bryant than the Twins got for Nelson Cruz. Is that greedy?
Well, I know I don't think it's greedy, but I don't think that Chris Bryant is going to bring back much more. He should bring back more based on what you correctly said, and not to mention, you know, he's 29 as opposed to 41, yeah. Nelson Cruz. So he does more. There is the versatility. And I just think Chris Bryant is a better overall hitter, player, the whole package. So maybe a little bit more. But we've known for a long time now, and even pre-pandemic, that the market has changed big time in terms of what teams are willing to give up, whereas there was once upon a time, not that long ago, maybe back in 2016, 17 and all that, teams would give up their top prospects to teams, to, you know, guys that were could potentially become stars. See Lucas Giolito, see Gleyber Torres. I mean, there were big-time trades made that really don't happen anymore. So I believe that, yeah, Cubs fans would be disappointed if that was the haul, but I think we've been trained to understand that you just don't get the same thing back. The value doesn't exist. I'll say one more thing about it. I am so happy for White Sox fans that Nelson Cruz is out of the division. Like, such a Sox fans have a healthy respect slash fear.
Right. But
of
there's a but.
Oh, what's the
so,
but?
So now you're happy for Sox fans that Nelson Cruz left the Twins, so he goes to the race so he can hit a home run against you in the playoffs.
Oh, well, there is that. But you don't have to see him 19 times a year.
No, just on one October night where he ruins your season by hitting a home run in Game 5.
So you guys are officially picking the White Sox and Tampa Bay to be playing a series
in
the postseason. Now I am. There it
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, the Rays made that trade. They were one game behind the Red Sox. And now the Sox are way in front of the Indians. So, yeah.
Here comes Nelly.
You didn't see that one coming, did you, Grody?
No, no, you guys just gave up on me, man. That's good.
I heard what you said.
Gotcha.
You guys were all over the butt. Hey, you guys got, back to you. You got to listen to what I say first before you guys jump in with the butts. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, see it through, okay? Tell that to your students.
And ifs and whats. Okay. I don't think this set the bar. I think the bar has to be higher. Now, of course, it ran through my mind, but is Chris Bryant a better player? Here's the difference. Nelson Cruz basically can do one thing, hit a baseball.
That'll
work. Chris Bryant can do a lot more than that, add a lot more different positions. That's not enough. If that's all you can get, then roll the dice, Jed Hoyer, and try to re-sign him.
That's an interesting idea.
Then roll the dice, because I don't – that's not enough.
Okay.
That's as desperate as the Cubs are for pitching, the 14th and 11th best player in the Rays. No. That you need to get like the 11th best prospect in baseball, not the 11th or 14th best prospect to the team you're trading to.
Or Andrew Vaughn.
Oh, yeah. My guy. Yeah. My guy. Yes. Straight up, baby.
I'm never going to forget that
one. No, neither will
In 5 years, I'm going to remember that one, Grody.
Well, we're going to be...
And Andrew Vaughn's third straight All-Star game, I'm going to remember that
one. Where it gets really interesting is like 2 years down the road and where Chris Bryant is and where Andrew Vaughn is. And then we will certainly revisit when I'm filling in for Mully. I know you won't.
I won't forget.
Nobody, and many of our listeners won't forget either.
Oh, boy. Good question.
What will be the biggest ramifications of Thursday's NFL memo, making it clear that teams that can't play due to COVID outbreaks among unvaccinated personnel will forfeit games? Did team chemistry just become something beyond a coach's control?
I think one of the biggest things will be really, really angry fan bases if teams have to forfeit games due to players ultimately, essentially, that don't get vaccinated. You're going to have some really pissed off fans, and I think that will run deep. You're also going to have, as you already have had, some players speaking out against, you know, their right to not get the vaccine? And is this a question of, you know, freedom and things like that? So I think it's, unfortunately, it's going to stir up a lot of exhausting talk. As far as, like, yeah, as far as within, you know, clubhouses or locker rooms in the case of the NFL, which we're talking about, yeah, I think there are going to be some players that will be angry at teammates that don't get vaccinated. But for the most part, I think teammates probably understand where guys are, because we're in such an unprecedented territory. So much of this we don't know, and we're just being asked to trust things, like, almost blindly. So I have a hard time thinking that there's going to be too much judgment from other players to those who don't get vaccinated.
I think it will depend on who the player is. I think if it's DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to get every benefit of the doubt to exercise whatever freedom he chooses to, because he can change the course of a game in a season. If it's your backup left tackle and he's your swing guy and he's your 47th guy on the roster, and all of a sudden he is the one who puts somebody over the top and you can't suddenly player causes an outbreak that forces you into not being able to reschedule a game and you forfeit and you're out of the playoffs, yeah, there's going to be some peer pressure there, no doubt about it. So you're going to see situations like Ezekiel Elliott, who came out yesterday and explained how he grew up in a household that didn't get vaccinations, but he's going to get this vaccination, and he did because of the football ramifications, frankly. It wasn't so much that the science made sense to him like it should for everybody, but he did this because he felt like he wanted to be a good teammate. That's the football mentality. It's going to be very interesting to see how peer pressure affects these vaccination rates, because you're seeing with teams like with the Colts, 50%, they're promising to get up to 100%. The momentum has started to shift now. I want to hear from the players' union. I see what they say about this in response. And I am fascinated to see in places like Buffalo, you're seeing stories about how this does have some ramifications in the locker room with an uncertain sort of chemistry with players on both sides of the fence.
You know, the peer pressure thing, I think that that could become real with these regulations that have put in by the NFL. But for whatever it's worth, talking to many NFL players about this, mostly via Zoom and with other reporters, it hasn't existed. Like, most players are like, yeah, I got it, but I understand if other guys don't. Like, nobody has expressed any kind of anger.
Until it's cost them a game check, they will be.
Right, and now this could change. But just as a little background, nobody has really pushed anybody, I don't think.
I'm surprised we haven't heard from the players' union yet at all. But you just nailed it right there. Until we know for certain that a game check is on the line, that's when you know you're going to have a problem. If you're telling me that on a Thursday, all of a sudden, you've worked all week to get ready for Game 5 of the NFL season, and it can be pulled, and you don't get paid at all, I don't see how that's going to fly. Or there's going to be some little, if you've been vaccinated, you get paid. If you haven't been vaccinated, you don't get paid. But again, we've seen that people who have been double vaxxed still can carry, still can test positive for it, so they can then bring it into the locker room. Until this thing is gone, I'm not saying you can't live your life, but when you're in a situation like a professional sport team, you got to be smart, because it's not just you. You could affect so many people. It's a bigger group than your own household. So you got to be smart when you do what you're going to do outside of playing the game of baseball or football or basketball or hockey.
Let's look at college football as a comp, because you can't, in some campuses, get into onto your college campus in the fall without being vaccinated. So there is that requirement with student athletes that they have to be vaccinated. Now, this is the NFL's way of not requiring it, but sort of requiring it without having a mandate.
And if an NFL game check is lost, I still think they're going to be mad at the NFL as opposed to their peers. They'll be mad. Like, players are, we know, we have learned that they are more anti-Roger Goodell and the NFL with some of the missteps they made. I think their anger will be channeled towards them and not their peers.
That's a good question, David. I think
the Bears announced that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace will be available in person finally next Tuesday at Halas Hall for media questions, the way they typically open training camp pre-pandemic. If you're sideline reporter Mark Grody or want to help Grody out, what would be the top two or three questions you'd arrive hoping to ask Nagy or Pace.
We're here to help. We're here to help, Brody.
I'm just going
to
sit back.
So I think you have to ask, first of all, them to reassert and reaffirm publicly for the record as training camp begins, what is the plan for Justin Fields, and is there any scenario under which he could win the job in preseason? Just to hear how they react to that. That's kind of like, okay, hey, welcome to our show, welcome to the party. That is the icebreaker, right? You want to see where they stand on that. If you want to get deep in the weeds, Ryan Pace, how do you feel about the cornerback position? Because it seems like you neglected that in the offseason opposite Jalen Johnson. How do you feel about your depth at a position so important to your defense? Because you know what? Trufant is not somebody that I think is durable. He could catch lightning in a bottle, but I would want to ask about the cornerback situation. And then I think the third thing on my mind would be, how do you see this offensive line coming together? Mm-hmm. And is Tevin Jenkins somebody at left tackle that you think, are you giving him more trust, placing more trust in him than maybe most rookies typically earn? Because learning a job at the NFL level, not an easy thing to do.
Those are great questions. I've jotted them down. Since this is for me, Dustin, would you like to go second and I'll go third, or
you didn't jot them down though, by the way.
That's another radio trick, right?
I'm jotting.
We're on Twitch, Grody. They can see you. They're watching.
Look at my
you.
Scribbles. There they are.
They're watching you. I would agree with everything David said there. I just might flip the order because we know we're going to get a bunch of gobbledygook as far as it goes with what the plan is for the quarterback. So I think the most pressing question is the offensive line. Now, I've heard you guys this week talk about the offensive line could be the strength of this team.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah.
Brody said that.
What is the plan on day? Is Jenkins taking day one first team reps at left tackle? And if he's not, what's the plan? Are you throwing him into the fire at left tackle? And if they answer yes, then the follow-up could be, and potentially should be, okay, then what about quarterback? Because now that we've established that you can have a rookie start at a position so important as left tackle, why couldn't we also have the quarterback be the guy who you moved up with? So that would be the follow-up. And then I'm with you, Dave. You know, we go back to this 5 at 5 segment. We do it every day. Ahead of the draft, the number one position they can't neglect in the draft is, mine was, cornerback. Not only did they basically turned their back on it and acted like they still had the two guys that started last year, my answer to the question would not have been cornerback if Fuller was still here, but he's not here. He's still not here. And they haven't replaced him, in my opinion. And not only do you need two cornerbacks in this league, you need three. Because you basically play dime the entire
game. Good point.
Game.
And Buster Screen's not been replaced either, really.
Right. You did draft a rookie in Thomas Graham Jr., so that might be a follow-up, too. Like, is he somebody that is going to be expected something of other than on special teams, talking about Thomas Graham Jr.? I think it's specifically on the cornerback thing. Is Kendall Vildor, like, is the door open for him, the second-year player, to be a starter at cornerback, and maybe Desmond Trufant is his backup, or Trey Roberson, or old Artie Burns, too. The Tevin Jenkins thing, too. Absolutely. Because it's all about, my thing with the offensive line, I do think it will be a strength if Tevin Jenkins is good, and I know that's a big if. The last question that I will ask him, too, is do you like seven-inning doubleheaders and a guy starting on second base? Do you like that in the DH? So we'll get into that.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
574 Texan, and will Grody call him Coach or Matt?
Hey, I've done both. Mostly, I can say that most of the guys on the beat refer to him as Matt.
That is the 5 at 5. Those are our opinions. What are yours? 312-644-6767. If you're Rick Hahn, how would you handle the Yerminator returning, and would you be mad enough to do something like DFA him down the road, or is he part of your playoff roster? What about the first-place White Sox taking on the first-place Brewers? Is that a World Series preview, and what is your prediction for the series? And did the Twins get enough for Nelson Cruz, and does that inform your opinions about what the Cubs should demand for Chris Bryant? We have all of that and more. Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.